Tonight's shiur is on Asar B'Teves, the fast day that's occurring tomorrow. And the title of the shiur tonight is The Tragedy of the Septuagint. So the title of the shiur is a reference to the whole story where the Jewish people and rabbis, various rabbis, translated the Torah into Greek. And we'll see from the Mefarshim that it was a very tragic thing. It was a very tragic event. So we're going to have to explain what the nature of this is and what its relationship to Asar B'Teves is. So if we look in source number one, to start it off, the Tur in Orach Chaim Hilchos Tainis Siman Tuf Kuf Pei brings down various minor fast days in the name of the Bahag that Jewish people have a minhag, have a custom to fast, and they're not the major fast days, they're more minor ones. And he starts as follows. He says, Kasav Bahag, the Baal Halachos Gedolos writes, Elu ha-yomim shemis'anin bahem min ha-Torah v'hemis'anin bahem lo yochal bahem v'lo yishta ad ha-erev. So these are some of the days where a person has to fast, and he says these fast days are from the Torah, which really just means that they're considered important fast days. It's not that they're actually in the Torah itself, but he's alluding to the idea that we should treat them seriously, and you're not allowed to eat the whole entire day. And then I bolded in the middle. If you go down, it says Beches B'Teves Hayamaisa D'Tamai HaMelech. On the eighth day of Teves, there is an event and a story which included Tamai HaMelech. So this is a reference to the translation of the Torah into Greek. And we'll see in the Gemara itself that Talmai HaMelech, Ptolemy, was the one who instructed the 72 Zakenim, the Sanhedrin, to translate the Torah into Greek. So on the 8th day of Teves, not the 10th day of Teves, but the 8th day of Teves, it says that Talmai instructed the Jews to translate into Greek, and that's one of the fast days, minor fast days, that's mentioned in this halacha in the Torah. And the Shulchan Aruch brings it down as well. And he says in source number 2, Bishmona B'Teves Nichtava HaTorah Yevanis. On the 8th day of Teves, the Torah was written in Greek, Bimei Talmai HaMelech, in the times of Ptolemy, V'hayachoshech Ba'olam Shloshu Yomim. So he adds in an extra idea. He says that once this event occurred, there were 3 days of darkness that followed this event. So the Shulchan Aruch gets this idea that there were 3 days of darkness from a Megillas Tainis, which I didn't bring down. But basically, the Shulchan Aruch adds to what the Torah was saying. He came after the Torah, but he says that not only do we fast on the 8th day of Teves because of this occurrence, this event of the Torah's translation into Greek, but there's also this terrible thing that happened where there was 3 days of choshech, of darkness in the world that followed. So we have to understand what the idea of this is. What's the concept of the 3 days of choshech that followed the event of translating the Torah into Greek? So we have to understand its relevance. But furthermore, in our Slichos on Asar B'Teves, we talk about this event. It's the beginning of the Slichos that we say at Shacharis in the morning of Asar B'Teves. We speak about this event of the Septuagint, of the Torah being translated into Greek, as one of the reasons or one of the ideas behind the fast day of Asar B'Teves, even though it happened on Ches B'Teves. But it's all included in the fast day, in our tefillah, in the fast day of Asar B'Teves. So we include the tragedy of the Septuagint, of the translation of the Torah. So we have to understand, you know, what was so bad about translating the Torah into Greek, and what does the Shulchan Aruch mean that when it was translated, there were 3 days of darkness? How do we explain this reference to the 3 days of Choshech that followed the translation of the Torah into Greek? So again, just to start this year, we're trying to understand. Somebody just called in, but we're trying to understand the idea of including the tragedy of translating the Torah into Greek in the theme of Asar B'Teves, because we mentioned it in the Slichos of Asar B'Teves. It occurred on the 8th day of Teves, and many have accustomed to fast on that day as well. So if you look in the Rambam, in source number 3, the Rambam doesn't bring this down at all. He says, Ve'elohein, these are the major fast days, Yom Shlishi B'Tishrei, so Tzom Gedalia Shbo Nera Gedalia B'Necheka Menichbeis Gachelis Yisrael HaNishara V'Sibe V'Lohasam Galusan. So we fast on Tzom Gedalia to recognize the idea that was the last vesture of sovereignty in Israel. V'Asir B'Teves Shabo Samach Melech Bavel V'Nevuchanetzar Rashal Yishalayim V'Heviyah B'Matzar V'Matzok. And the main idea of Asar B'Teves is that we fast because of the siege that occurred on that day to Yerushalayim. V'shiva sarbatamas, and then he mentions shiva sarbatamas, chamisha dvarim irubo, there are five things, nishtabra luchos, the luchos were broken, ubatal tamid, the tamid korban stopped, mibayis rishon, v'hufka yerushalayim v'chorban sheni, and they were surrounded, the ear was surrounded and broken through in the chorban sheni, and the second bias, v'sarf apostomas arashas haTorah, and there was the burning of the Torah, v'hamid selam b'hecha, and also there was a selam that was put up in the hecha. But the main idea in the Rambam is that he doesn't bring down any reference to the translation of the Torah into Greek as part of Asar B'Teves, but we know that in our Slichos, we mention it, and also it's brought down in the Torah and the Shulchan Aruch that it was a minhag to fast on Ches B'Teves because of this. But we have to understand what was so bad about it. That's the main question this year. What's so bad about translating the Torah into Greek, and why does the Shulchan Aruch quoting the Megillas Tainis mentioned this idea that there were 3 days of Choshech in the world after the Torah was translated? So those are the main questions. So if we look in source number 4, the Masechet Sofrim, one of the minor Masechtos, he brings down another idea, another point in the same vein. So if you look in source number 4, it says, Maisa b'chamisha shekasvu l'talmai ha-melech es ha-Torah Yevanis. There was a situation, a story, event, where five elders, five Talmidei Chachamim, wrote down the Torah into Greek for a Talmid. This day was as hard to Klal Yisrael as the day that the Egel was done. Because they couldn't interpret the Torah properly. So the Masechet Sofrim doesn't bring down this idea of Choshech after, but he does mention a different event, where the Torah was translated into Greek, and he says it was as difficult as the Egel. So we have to understand another question: what's the reference or what's the comparison between the writing down and translation of the Torah to the Egel? So we have to understand that as well. And if you look in source number 4, the next story is really the essential story of the translation. It says, Shuv Maisa B'Talmai Amelch. There was another story with Talmai, Shekine Shivim Ushnaim Zakenim. He took 72 Zakenim, elders, Veshivam Veshivam Ushanim Ushnayim Batim. He put each one in a separate house. Velo Gilulahem Alma Kinsam. He didn't tell them why he gathered them. Nichnas Achar Kol Echad Vechad Mehem. He went into each one. Amar Lahem Kisvuli Torah Moshe Abchem. Write down the Torah into Greek. Nasan Amakum Eitzah Belev Kol Echad Vechad. There was a Hashgacha from Hashem that their translation should all be the same. V'eskima daitan l'das achas. And they all agreed on the same translation. V'chasu lo Torah b'fnei atzma. And they wrote down the Torah. So the Masechet Sofrim brings down two stories. One story was where Talmi asked five Zakenim to translate the Torah.
Hello?
Yes. Hello?
Hello?
Yeah. Hello? Okay. So one story is where Talmi asked five Zakenim to translate the Torah into Greek, and the Masechet Sofrim says that when that event occurred, it was equal to the Egel. It was just as bad as the Egel. It was just as hard on Klal Yisrael. And the second story is the story that we're going to look at in Megillah, where Talmi asked 72 Zakenim, he put them in separate rooms, and he told them to translate the Torah, and there was some type of Hashgacha from Hashem, there was divine intervention to help them and make sure that the translation was consistent with one another. So we have to go into this idea of what the Hashgacha was and how their translations came about and came to be consistent with one another. But up to this point, we're trying to understand the theme of the Septuagint, why it fits into Asar B'Teves, what was so bad about it, and why it's compared to the Egel in one story, and also the idea that Choshech, that there was Choshech in the world, there was darkness in the world for 3 days after it was done, will also give us some type of insight into what was so bad about the translation of the Torah. Bizman Hazeh, we have plenty of translations of the Torah into English. We have translations of Torah Sheba'al Peh. So why is it so bad? It would seem to be a good thing that people have access to more knowledge and to more Torah. So why was it so bad that the Torah was translated into Greek? So that's the main question. So if you look in the Mishnah, let's get some background. We'll try to understand how it came about that the 72 Zakenim came up with the same consistent translation of the Torah, and then we'll give the insight, the ideas as to why it was so bad. So if you look in the Mishnah in Megillah Daf Ches Amud Beis, it's source number 5. It says, "Ein bein svarim l'tfilin u'mezuzos ela sh'asvarim nechtavim b'chol lashon. U'tfilin u'mezuzos ena nechtavos ela ashuris." So there's no difference between Sifrei Torah and Tefillin and Mezuzos, except for the fact that Sifrei Torah can be written in any language, and Tefillin and Mezuzos can only be written in Lashon HaKodesh. So the Mishnah says that you're allowed to translate or allowed to write the Torah in any language. And then it says, Rabban Shimon Gamliel Omer Af Bisvaram Lo Etziru Sheikhtivu Eli Yavanis. But Rabban Shimon Gamliel says, no, that only by Sifrei Torah, they're only allowed to be translated into Greek. So the Gemara is going to answer, ask the question, why? What's so unique about the Torah, according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, that the Torah can only be translated into Greek? Why is Greek chosen as the only language that the Torah can be translated into? That's the question. So then the Gemara brings down the story over here. So if we go to source number 6, it says as follows. The Sanya, there's a Braisa that supports Rabban Shimon Gamliel and the idea that you're allowed to write the Torah in Greek. From this story, Maisa b'Talmai Hamelech, Shekine Shivim Ushtaim Zakenim. There's a story with Ptolemy, who is an Egyptian king. Rashi, look in source number 7. Ptolemy Melech Mitzrayim Haya. He was an Egyptian king, and it says Shekine Shivim Ushtaim Zakenim. He gathered up 72 Zakenim, v'chnisan b'shivim Ushtaim Batim. He put each one in their own room. V'lo gilu lehem al ma kinsan. Same as Masechta Sofrim. He didn't tell them, you know, why he was gathering them. Write down the Torah of Moshe, your Rebbe. So Hashem gave each one individual advice, and they all agreed, and they came out with the same translation. So what was the difference? So now the Gemara goes through the differences in the translation into Greek and the original Hebrew. So the first one is, V'chasulo Elokim bara Bracious. So instead of it saying Bracious bara Elohim, they turned it around and they wrote Elohim bara Bracious in Greek. So God created in the beginning. So why did they do that? Look in source number 7. Elohim bara Bracious es hashamayim shelo yomar Bracious shem hu shtei reshios hein verishon bara es hasheni. They didn't want people to think that Bracious was a god, the name of a god. And Bracious was the one who created God. He was the first creator, and then there was another God that he created to create the world. So the first idea, or the first translation, interpretation that they were careful in translating, that Hashem helped them with, was this idea, this point, that they changed the words in Greek from Bracious bar Elohim to Elohim bara Bracious, so that people wouldn't think that there are two gods, that there are two ideas of God. So that's the first idea. Ese Adam Bitzelem Uvidmus. So another change is, it says not, another change is it says Nase Adam Bitzalmenu. It says it in the plural. Look in Rashi on the second source sheet. It says Ese Adam Shemikan Pakru Haminin Lomar Shte Rishuyosein Dichsev Nase Adam. So the Torah itself says Nase Adam, we should make man, implying that there are multiple gods creating man. So in when they translated the Torah into Greek, they were very careful. And they changed Nase to Ese, to the idea of I created, in order that people not think that there are multiple gods creating, that there's only one God. So far, the first two corrections that they made were sensible corrections. They basically wanted to make sure that people reading this Greek translation wouldn't think that there are multiple gods, that the Torah has an idea of multiple gods. So they corrected the Hebrew when they translated into a way where it would be clear that there's only one God. Okay, so that's the first idea. The second, so those are the first two corrections, and then we'll go on. It says Vayechal Bayom HaShishi. So the Torah says Vayechal Bayom HaShvi'i, but they changed it to Vayechal Bayom HaShishi. Look in Rashi on the next daf, the next source sheet. It says Vayechal Bayom HaShishi Shelo Yomar Imkein Asa Malacha B'Shabbes. So it says Dehaksiv Vayechal Bayom HaShvi'i. It says that Hashem stopped on the seventh day, but stopping implies that Hashem worked on the seventh day and stopped. But that's not what we mean by when we say Vayechal Bayom HaShvi'i. V'hu lo yikabel lov medrash chachamim shidarshu bo mahayah olam chaser menucha. Basa Shabbos, basa menucha, v'zo gemara. So they wouldn't accept the drushos that Chazal have for why it says Vayechal Bayom HaShvi'i. That's to teach us that the world was lacking rest. So they changed it. They changed it to Vayechal Bayom HaShishi so that people wouldn't think that God was really working on Shabbos itself. So they changed from Vayechal Bayom HaShvi'i to Vayechal Bayom HaShishi. All right, keep going. Back in the Gemara, it says Vayichal bayom hashishi, Vayishbos bayom hashvi, Zachar nekeva bera'o. It says that he created man and woman, And instead of it saying bira'om, it says bira'o. Look at Rashi. Zachar nekeva bira'o v'lo kasu bira'om demash mashne gufin bara. It sounds like from bira'om that he created two bodies. Kol echad zachar nekeva shne partzufin l'chach kasu bira'o shekach nivra adam mashne partzufin. So they changed the idea of God creating man, that he didn't create them separately initially, but he created man with two faces. So they wanted to make it clear that when Hashem created the universe, he didn't create two separate beings, but rather he created one being with two faces. So they changed the Lashon in order for it to be recognizable for any reader to realize that that's how creation occurred. Okay, so the next two are that God didn't work on Shabbos, so they changed it. And the one after that is that is this idea that when God created man, humanity, he didn't create two separate beings, but he created one being with two faces. Okay, keep going. The next one, these are all important because I'll show you at the end how these are all relevant and integral. So the next one is Vatitzchak Sarah Bikroveha. It says in the Pasuk, Vatitzchak Sarah Bikirba. When Sarah heard that she was going to have a baby, she laughed. And she's criticized in the Torah for laughing, even though Avram's not criticized, because Avram's laugh was a laugh of happiness, and Sarah's laugh was a laugh of skepticism. So if you look in Rashi, so they changed it to make Birkrovel, look at Rashi. Shelo yomar al Avram v'lo hikbid d'chsev v'yitzchak v'al Sarah hikbid. They didn't want people to think that God was being favored. He was favoring Sarah over Avram. Even though in our understanding of the Torah and with Chazal, we know that Avram's reaction, even though it says that he laughed, was different. He laughed out of happiness and Sarah laughed because she was skeptical. But nevertheless, they didn't want it to look like God was playing favorites to Avram. Lefichach kasu bikrovel. Lomar Avram belibo v'hi amra bikrovel. They wanted to show that Avram and Sarah were distinct in the way that they reacted to the knowledge that she was going to have a child. So they changed in the interpretation translation, they changed it so that it would be clear what was going on over there. Okay, back to the Gemara. It says, Ki be'apam hargushor uvirtonam ikru avos. So it says that by Shimon and Levi, it says that they killed, when they killed Shechem, they were punished for it. And Yaakov says that they shouldn't have, you know, he chastises them for killing Shechem. So if you go to Rashi, it says, Hargu Shor Shel Yomar Ratzchanim Hayu Avoseichem. They wanted to protect anybody who was reading the Torah, when they translate into Greek, from thinking that our forefathers were murderers. Sharei Avihem made Alam Shem Hargu Ish, Lechach Kasvu Shor. They changed it to Shor. Shaloa Yuchashuvim Beinav Elik Behemos, Velohik Bidal Behemos. So they changed the Lashon of the Torah from Ish to Shor to make it seem like Shimon and Levi didn't really kill people. They killed animals. They didn't want anybody reading the Torah in this translation, any Greeks, thinking that our forefathers were murderers, because if that were the case, it would be dangerous for the Jews. So far they were trying to protect the idea of God's oneness and that God is the only God, and they were also trying to protect the way that people saw how God judges the world, how he treats Avram and Sarah, and also they wanted to protect the Jews. So when they translated it, and this is all with Hashem and the Hashgachas Hashem, when they translated the idea that Shimon and Levi killed, they wanted to try to hide the idea that they killed people, and instead it seems like they only killed animals, so people wouldn't be as upset about that situation. Okay, keep going. Back to the Gemara. It says, "Vayikach Moshe es ishto ve'esbanav vayirkivim al nosei bnei adam." So it says when Moshe took his wife and his children, it says that he put him on a chamor. But a chamor, it's degrading for a leader of Moshe's stature to put his family on a donkey. So they changed it to a nosei bnei adam, a carrier of man. So Rashi says, "Demashma gamal," it's a camel. Shlo yomar Moshe rafcham lo yalo suso gamal. They didn't want people to think that Moshe didn't have, he was a lowly person who only had a donkey. No, they wanted people to think that he had a camel, so they changed that. So that was another example of where they changed the Torah when they translated it into Greek in order that people should not think poorly of Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay? So it keeps going. There's a couple more, and then we'll get to the end, which is an interesting one. It says, U'moshav b'nei Yisrael asher yashuv b'mitzrayim u'vishar ratzos arba me'o shana. So another one is that the Torah says that the Jews lived in Egypt for 400 years, but the reality is that if you do the math, it was less than that. So they changed it. It says that they lived in Mitzrayim and other Artos for 400 years, not just Mitzrayim. And that's based on our Chazal. Look at Rashi, Uvishar Ratzos, Shlo Yomar Sheker Kasev B'Torah. They didn't want people to think that the Torah was lying. Sheker Kahas Miyordei Mitzrayim Haya. So this is a Rashi in the Torah, but Kahas came down to Mitzrayim. Ukshaata Mone Shnosav Shel Kahas Ushnosav Shel Amram Ushnosav Shel Moshe Kulon Ein Magios La'arba Me'oshana. If you add up all their amounts of years, it's not going to equal 400. Kol Shekin Shaharbe Meshanos Habanim Nivlaim B'Soch Shnosa Avos. And that's only if you count them from the beginning of their lives to the end, to the beginning and to the end. But they're all inclusive. Some of the children lived in the times of their forefathers. So there's no way to work it out. So it says, Ela Shemana Kasa Miyom Shenigzra Gzeras Galus Mitzrayim Bein Amasarim. So the 400 years is from the time that Avram was told that the Jews would be enslaved in Mitzrayim, but it's not actually the amount of time that they were in Mitzrayim. So they changed it. The rabbis who translated into Greek changed it to reflect that idea so that people wouldn't think that the Torah was lying because they didn't actually stay in Mitzrayim for 400 years. Okay? And then furthermore, there's a couple more. It says, Vayishlach es zatute b'nei Yisrael ve'el zatute b'nei Yisrael lo shalach yado. They also changed the Torah when it refers to the Nare b'nei Yisrael, the Bechoros, and also the rabbis that went up by Har Sinai in Mishpatim. It used a term that was more kavod. It says, Vel zatute b'nei Yisrael, Rashi says, Lashon chashivas. So they didn't want people to think that the Torah thought of these individuals in a lowly way. So they changed it. And then it goes on and says, Lo chamad echad mehem lo nasasi, asher chalak Hashem lokecha osam lohayar l'chol amem. So it changed the idea of Moshe. The Moshe says, I never took a chamor, but it sounds like he took other things. So they changed it. I didn't covet anything from Klal Yisrael. Lo chamad echad mehem nasasi. And lohayar l'chol amem is referring to Avodah Zarah, that all the non-Jews should know, even the Bnei Noach should know that it's usher to do Avodah Zarah, not just the Jews. And then finally, they change, keep going, it says, V'chasvulo es tziras haraglayim, below chasvulo ves har neves. When the Torah talks about kosher and non-kosher animals, they mention the hare, the rabbit, and they changed the rabbit to tziras yadayim. Why they do that? So if you go back to the Gemara, it says, V'lo chasvulo ves har neves, m'pnei she ishto shel tamei ar neves shema. The wife of Talmai, her name was Arneves. Shlo Yomar Sachaku Bia Yehudim V'Yitilu Shem Ishti B'Torah. They didn't want the Talmai to think that the Jews were making fun of him by including his wife in one of the examples of non-kosher animals. So they changed it to Tziras Yadayim. And Rashi says, Tziras Yadayim is because of the shape of a rabbit. It says, Asher lo tivisi, the last one. V'chasu v'makum es arneves v'es tzi'ira saraglayim l'fishi yadea kitzaros uktanos miragla. Because the hands of a rabbit, the arms, are smaller than the legs. Because they use the legs to jump and hop. Okay, so there's many different examples of changes. I think there's 13 in total. I might have skipped one, but there's 13 in total changes. And these are the various changes that all the rabbis got together. And through Hashgacha, through Hashem's help, he was able to convince each one of them to make these changes when they were translating into Greek in order for different reasons. Some of the reasons were to protect the idea of God and make sure that people didn't think that there were multiple gods. And others were to protect the Jews from being punished. So you see two examples of that. They changed the name Arneves in the Torah so that Ptolemy wouldn't think they were making fun of them. And also the Ratzchanim, they didn't want people to know that Shimon and Levi were killers. So they were trying to protect Jews. And they were trying to demonstrate true ideas in the Torah, but they changed some of the Torah in order to reflect that. So that was the whole story here with the Septuagint. But the question still remains, what's so bad about the translation? And obviously, if Hashem was helping them, and he actually assisted them in this, so what's so bad about it? So what is so bad exactly about translating the Torah into Greek? That's the question. And why, again, back to the beginning sources, the earlier sources, The Shulchan Aruch says that there was Choshech Ba'olam 3 days. There was 3 days of darkness when this happened. And we also saw in the Masechet Sofrim that it was the first time it was translated, it was Kasha LeYisrael, like the eagle. It was equivalent to the eagle. So what's the comparison to the Choshech and the eagle? What was so bad about translating the Torah into Greek? That's the question. Okay? Before we answer, does anybody have any possibilities on the phone line? Anybody want to give an idea, a possible idea, as to why it was such a tragic event that the Jews translated the Torah into Greek? When we see that the Torah, when we see that Hashem helped the rabbis, that he helped Chazal, the Sanhedrin, translate it into Greek. And in fact, you would think it's a good thing, because now we have an opportunity to learn more Torah and to gain more insight into Torah. So what's so bad about it? Why is it so bad that we fast on it, or we mention it in our slichos on Asar B'Teves? So that's the question. Okay, so I want to propose two different ideas, two possibilities, based on the comparison or the references that were made before. So the first reference was the Shulchan Aruch. Just go back to the sources again. It's Kuf, Tuf Kuf Pei. In source number 2, it says, "B'shmona b'teves nichtava tori vanas v'imei talmai amelech v'yachoshech ba'olam shol shiyamim." It says, on the 8th day of Teves, the Torah was translated into Greek, and there was darkness in the world for 3 days. So what is this a reference to? Was there actual darkness in the world for 3 days? I mean, I find it hard to believe that. There's no real mention of it in the history books of that time, and the Gemara doesn't mention it. It's only mentioned in Megillas Tainis. So what is it? So obviously Choshech itself, the Maka of Choshech was 3 days. If you look back in Shmos, Perek Yud, in source number 8, it says, "Vayomer Hashem Moshe, Tei Yadcha al Hashamayim, V'Choshech al Eretz Mitzrayim, V'Yamesh Choshech." So Hashem said to Moshe, "Outstretch your arms towards the sky, and it'll bring darkness upon Egypt." V'Yet Moshe said, "Al Hashamayim, V'Yichoshech Afilah B'Chol Eretz Mitzrayim, Shloshes Yamim." So there was 3 days of darkness. So for 3 days, the Mitzrayim were immobilized. They were in complete darkness, but the Jews were fine. They had light. So the Torah references the idea of Choshech for 3 days in Makas Choshech. So obviously, if you're not going to learn it literally, which I don't think it's literal, that there's actual darkness in the world for 3 days in a row after this event occurred where the Torah was translated, so it's obviously a reference to this some concept that exists in Choshech, in the Makkah of Choshech, that maybe might highlight why it was so bad, why the tragedy was so bad. Okay, so I think it's hard to sift through it because there's a lot of different ideas in Choshech. One of the ideas of Choshech is that the Jews that were opposed to leaving Egypt were killed, and another idea in Choshech is that the Jews could find all the stuff that the Mitzrayim were hiding, and then when they left, they could say, "Listen, I know where your stuff, you know, where your stuff is. Bring it out here, and I'm going to take it away." So those ideas have nothing to do with the Septuagint, it would seem. But there's an idea in the Ibn Ezra, in source number 9, that I think references a concept that we can highlight. So if you look in source number 9, the Ibn Ezra says, "Vayet v'lo yadu shehaya gimel yamim, ela pi Yisrael shehaya lahem or." They didn't know that it was three days. It's only through the fact that the Jews had light that you could tell time, and that it was 3 days. V'hine b'yam okinus yavo choshechav. And the yam okinus, there's a very thick darkness. Lo yuchal adam lahafresh ben yom uvein laila. There's no distinction between day and night. V'yamud ze lefamim chamishu yomim. Sometimes it could last 5 days. V'ani ayisi sham pamim rabos. The Ibn Ezra says, I was there many times, and I lived it through this darkness, this type of darkness, where you couldn't tell the difference between day and night. So the idea of the shloshi yomim is that they didn't know it was 3 days. It was so dark that there was no differentiation between day and night, and it became one complete time period. And there was no, as I said before, there was no distinction based on the Ibn Ezra as to when day and when night were. So I think this idea is, and the fact that the Shulchan Aruch says that on Ches B'Teves, after it was translated, there was Choshech, I think this idea is the key idea. What is that idea? The idea is that there is a complete mixture of the opposites of day and night. There's a complete confusion and mixture, and there was a lot of ideas that weren't clear. They were all bumbled up, and that's the idea of Choshech 3 days, that there was a bumbling, a mixture of night and day. So too, when the Torah, perhaps it's the idea is that when the Torah was translated into Greek, so the idea was that there's a lot of ideas that were now, you know, mixed in with one another, because whenever you translate, there's always a distortion that exists in translation per se, because the Torah was written in Lashon HaKodesh. Lashon HaKodesh is unique because each word and each word conveys concepts in a very precise manner. And when you translate, there's always ideas and distortions that arise through translations. And the idea is that when the Torah was translated into Greek, now there was a mixture of various points of ideas that the Torah conveys in Lashon HaKodesh and ideas, Greek ideas, that now come together in the Torah within the Torah, and it was a tremendous tragedy because the tragedy was that it allowed for distortion to come in and change the Torah or affect the Torah. So I think the idea of the Shulchan Aruch saying that there was Choshech for 3 days after this event is a tie-in to the concept that for 3 days there was no distinction between day and night in the eyes of the Mitzrayim, meaning to say that the tragedy of the Septuagint was that there was a mixture of sorts. There was a confusion of sorts in the Torah. There was a distortion of the ideas, the Greek ideas represented in the Greek language, and the Torah's ideas as presented through Lashon HaKodesh. Once they were mixed together, it was a tremendously terrible event, and now there was distortion that could potentially arise in the study of Torah. So that's the first point. So the first possibility as to why we fast and why it was so bad is because the Torah has to be protected from any type of distortion, and the first time it was translated into Greek, on the one hand, Hashem allowed them or helped them giving the most precise translation, but on the other hand, there's still distortion that may arise or that could arise and that did arise as a result of this translation. Okay, so that's the first possibility. The second idea is the Egel. The Maseches Sofrim, if you go back to source number 4, it says that there was a story before the 72 where 5 Zekenim translated the Torah, and it says, V'haya oso yom kasha l'Yisrael ki yom shenaseh bo egel. So this day was so difficult, it was similar to the egel, to the day of the egel. So what is that reference? What's the comparison between the Septuagint and the egel? So I think over here, there's one last point that I wanted to make about the Septuagint, and it's the Ramban. The Ramban says by the egel that they didn't believe in separate gods. He says in source number 10, Asher yelchu lefanenu elohos harbu evel lohem, kizeh Moshe ish asher ha'elanu meret b'tzrayim, v'ayamora lanu aderech na'leba, v'liyadanu mehayelo, ata trichem le'elohos harbu asher yelchu lefanenu, lashon Rashi. Shirashi learns that the Egel was really a Avodah Zarah, that they wanted multiple gods because they didn't have Moshe anymore. But then he says, v'ein lashon ha'mechuva, aval kasav hazeh hu miftach ledas nachon inin ha'egel, machsheves osav. So the Ramban has a different approach. They didn't think that Moshe was God. They didn't think that Moshe did it alone. So why did they say that? They even recognized that God took them out of Mitzrayim. They simply wanted a replacement of Moshe, and they were so dependent on Moshe that they needed a replacement. Amru Moshe shahor lanu aderech b'Mitzrayim anhina. So Moshe took us out of Mitzrayim. Shehayu amasam al pi Hashem b'yad Moshe. Hine avad mimena. We've lost Moshe, and we need to replace Moshe. So it's a famous machlokes between Rashi and the Ramban as to what the exact flaw was by the ego. Was it that they created gods, and it was a Avodah Zarah, or was it that they were simply trying to replace Moshe? So what does this have to do with Septuagint? Because the Maseches Sofrim says that it was as bad, it was as hard as the Egel, harsh as the Egel. So I think the idea is that, this one last point is that when the Torah was written by Lashon HaKodesh, it was really a reflection of godliness. There's a reflection of godliness inherent in the Torah, because God designed the Torah by Lashon HaKodesh, and Lashon HaKodesh, as we said before, is the Lashon of precision. And once you translate the Torah into another language, even into Greek, you're separating the Torah from the designer of the Torah. You're separating it from the way that it was designed by Hashem. And now it becomes an independent entity from God. It becomes a book on its own that has religious significance outside of God. And I think that's the allusion to the idea of the Egel. See, by the Egel, so if you hold like Rashi, it was a separate god. And what that means is that now this book, the Torah, can become or can be viewed as a separate entity apart from God. Because Lashon HaKodesh is what kept it close to God. It's what keeps the Torah tied to God, because its design and its precision reflects on God. But once it's translated into Greek, and once it's separated, now it becomes an entity on its own. And it almost becomes as a god in itself. It becomes a book that's viewed on its own outside of God. And that's a problem. That's one of the tragedies of the Septuagint, of the translation of the Torah into Greek. It's not just the distortion that arises, but it's the idea that the Torah exists in a vacuum apart from God, once it's separated from its original design, from Lashon HaKodesh. And the other possibility is that we become more dependent once it's translated. It's a similar idea, but once it's translated into Greek, we become more dependent on the translators as opposed to God. Because the translators Like we see in the story, the translators change the verses in order to fit how the people perceive it. So you see from that that it's no longer, we're no longer attached to God as the creator of the Torah, but the people who translate it become active creators, so to speak, in the Torah. So either the Torah becomes an entity within itself, and that's the problem, or the people who write it become the creators of the Torah, and that's also another idea that separates it from God, that separates the Torah from its godly origins. So I think that's another idea as to why we fast for the Septuagint, and why it's mentioned in our tefillah and our slichos by Asar B'Tevis. So I just wanted to summarize the shir. It's really 2 points, really. The main question in the shir was, what's the tragedy attached to the Septuagint, to the point where, you know, the Shulchan Aruch and the Torah say that we should fast on the Ches B'Tevis, and we see that we mention it in the slichos of Asar B'Tevis, and not only that, but aside from that, the Shulchan Aruch says that there was Choshech in the world for 3 days, and the Maseches Sofrim says that the first time Talmi asked for the Torah to be translated, it was similar to the Egel. So what's the so bad about it? So we saw from the Gemara in Megillah that Hashem actually helped the Chazal Sanhedrin translate into Greek, and they changed different aspects of the Torah in order to protect the Torah and protect the perception of the Torah and the Jews as well. So we have to understand why was it so bad? What was so bad about it, especially since God helped this situation, helped the Chazal translate it? So the answer, we said 2 possibilities. If you compare it to Choshech, they're not arguing possibilities. They're not arguing with one another. It's just 2 ideas. One is the comparison to Choshech. So Choshech, we said, is the concept of a lack of distinction between day and night. But Ibn Ezra says that was the nature of the Choshech for 3 days. So the idea of that is a demonstration of confusion, of a tremendous confusion, where there's a mixture of very antithetical ideas. So the idea that this Shulchan Aruch is pointing to, and Megillas Tainis, is the concept that when the Torah was translated into Greek, there was a great potential for distortion of the Torah, because Greek ideas and Greek language and the way that it was presented is very different than Lashon HaKodesh. And now, once you translate it, you allow for a mixture of various ideas, and that could lead to distortion, a tremendous distortion. And that alone demands that we do tshuva and we fast. And the other possibility was the possibility of the Egel, which is the idea that when you separate the Torah from Lashon HaKodesh, it becomes an entity within itself. It no longer becomes a vehicle or a primary vehicle of God. Because when you have a beautiful building and you know who the architect is based on the structure itself and the way that it was built, like Frank Lloyd Wright, it's very clear when you see his architecture that he was the originator, he was the creator. But once you start separating it, so now it's not as clear anymore. It becomes more muddled. And the problem is that in this situation, the book itself, the Torah itself, once it's separated from God and its origins by being translated, so it can become an entity within itself, a separate entity of worship, a separate entity of value apart from the fact that God created it. So that's one problem. And the other problem is aside from taking it away from Lashon HaKodesh, you're also giving people more of an ability or strength over creating the Torah, and that's a problem, because once you do that, it's another degree of separation from Hashem, and it creates more of a reliance upon us, on the people who translate, on the translators, and the way that people write the Torah as opposed to on God himself. So that's the second idea that I wanted to elaborate in the shir. All right, so everybody, that's the end of the shir tonight, so hopefully everybody has, you know, a meaningful fast tomorrow, and have a good night. Thank you. Have a good Shabbos.